Roll away the dawn, roll away the dawn, and let me see the land of the free. Has anything changed at home? Sweet liberty.
Listening to Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. This is Monday, and it is the 6th of June in the year 2005. And I'm glad you've joined us tonight. I hope you had a nice weekend, folks. I'm getting myself organized here. All right, our spiritual message tonight. Okay, there's two of them. I have a few of these cards that I pulled from my Course in Miracles little deck of cards. And this one is from the text. On page 187, my kingdom is not of this world because it is in you and you are of your Father. Now, my kingdom is not of this world because it is in you and you are of your Father. And the other one here is a short one from the text, page 149. Listen to this, folks. Fear of the will of God is one of the strangest beliefs the human mind has ever made. You want to hear that one again? Think about this. Fear of the will of God is one of the strangest beliefs the human mind has ever made. And basically, our religions have taught us to fear our Creator, haven't they? The fear of God, he's a good God-fearing man, or she's a good God-fearing woman. And Jesus told us to love our Father, Creator, with all our mind, with all our heart, our soul, our strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. So that's that for this evening. And we have a guest this evening, as somebody that I think you will be very pleased to be able to listen to. And we haven't had him on too often, and so I wanted to bring him on this evening. Alan Watt is with us tonight, folks. I'm being facetious. Alan, thanks for being here.
Yeah, it's a pleasure, yeah.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Well, the reason, folks, that I asked Alan to come on this evening, and before I forget to mention this, because I may, Stephen Jacobson is coming on with us tomorrow night. And perhaps Alan and I will get into part of the discussion Stephen had called me this past weekend and was telling me about a program he was watching on Trinity Broadcast. And it's just more part of this insidious plan to get people praying the plan for world dominion, the power over this world and every aspect of our lives, praying it into existence. So we'll be doing that tomorrow night. And the reason I asked Alan to come on, we were talking about the food, folks. And one of the things Alan was telling me that I wasn't aware of is what the large agro businesses like Monsanto, I don't know if you wouldn't call them an agro business, would you? Agribusiness. Alan?
And that's what they call themselves.
Yeah.
But they're really a complete monopoly. That's their job.
A complete monopoly.
Yeah.
And to start this out, would you tell our listeners what you were telling me about what they're doing with the patenting of other people's and company seeds? And I'm going to go let Mariah, and I'll be right back to the microphone, okay?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, the Monsanto of course, started off with a patent for genetically modified food for one particular species. And of course, that eventually, after a few failures, eventually got through the patenting procedure. And so for the first time, a company could actually patent and own a foodstuff or the seed. But that didn't seem to be the real purpose behind it, because what it did was open up the doors for Monsanto then to go and purchase anybody's seed.
I'm back, Alan.
Yeah, and they could purchase anybody's seed, and then, of course, they could go patent it, go back to the purchaser and say to them, you can't sell that anymore because we own the rights to it.
And you said they're actually doing this today?
They've done it with thousands of species, yeah.
Of thousands. Species of seeds.
Mm-hmm. And so these are seeds which produce plants which people have spliced and so on in the old way for hundreds, maybe thousands of generations to get that perfect plant. And of course, no one thought of patenting the rights to it, except, of course, the big money boys, because food and water are necessities, and they're taking over both.
Yeah.
And I think you have the quote there from that lady who was in charge of the...
Bertinelli.
Yes, uh-huh.
Where she said, we use food as a... What did she say, weapon?
She said it's always been...
We make no apologies.
Yeah. And, of course, there's no doubt about it. To whip the world into shape, into the new system, we can see that water has been taken over step by step. And now food, of course, is going the same way. People don't realize they've had riots in other parts of the world where Monsanto has paid off governments to push their seed on the people. India has had massive riots over there, you know.
You mean the people in India actually know?
Yeah. Well, see, India has such a long history of the a very class-type system, and it's only in recent years that they've had any small farmers at all who own their own land, and they see right away this is a move to take it all back from them. Because the seed that you have to purchase from Monsanto won't regenerate itself. You have to go back every year to buy more seeds.
Well, they have the Terminator seed.
Yes.
And that is one I believe, I remember reading about that they're on the third world countries where people, I mean, they live by the food that they grow, and the farmers are being forced into using the Terminator seed. They won't be able to afford to continue farming.
That's right.
Because they always save their seed, their corn and grain and et cetera, to for the next, you know, enough of it for the next planting.
Sure.
And the Terminator seed, folks, in case you haven't heard about it, probably most of you had, it is a seed that will grow a food. And I don't think the foods are seedless, but the seeds will not sprout. And this is another... you know, when Alan did the broadcast last Monday night, and I didn't listen to it then, but I did listen to it Tuesday night after I did the broadcast. I listened to it on the archive, and he mentioned the importance of gardening, but gardening with not hybrid seeds, because from what the hybrid seeds, and hybrids aren't bad, they're not genetically modified foods. But the seed of the hybrid, if they take two different types of, let's say, a hybrid tomato, and they make this real nice, cool, super tomato out of it, that tomato, the seeds of that tomato, about 25% of them will germinate, but they're not going to be the hybrid. They're going to go back to whatever whoever hybridized them believed to be inferior. What they do, Alan, you know, one of the nice things about if we didn't have to worry about buying seed is that they can hybridize a, let's say, a particular plant for particular areas that maybe are resistant to certain plant diseases.
Mm-hmm.
But now in the Southern Exposure Seed Exchange catalog, they've got, it's like you said, that they have grown these seeds over time. They're actually what they call heritage seeds from long, long ago. And so they actually have been able to breed plants that are no longer hybrids that for particular growing areas are resistant to rust or, you know, whatever some plants can get.
Mm-hmm.
And we won't have access to these.
No. And this is, again, one of the a priority. It's obviously a priority because the judges are totally on board, as they say, with this. On board is a good pirate term, you know.
Yeah, a good pirate term, yes.
That's right. So, yeah, they're fining anybody who gets Monsanto's seed blown on their land, and even in the charges that they're using against farmers where they find one or two plants on his land, they'll put them out of business and take the farm, and they're doing that. And the judge even said in Canada here at the Supreme Court level, he didn't care how it got there, if it blew off, was dropped, brought in by a combine harvester, and that's another method of moving this around. Farmers often hire guys to go around the farms with their combines, and they're taking seed with them, you see, and then spreading it on the next farm.
And this one particular, I remember reading it, and I think it's the same one you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
although there probably have been more than one.
Yeah.
But the one farmer who grew a non-GM corn,
yeah.
And there was a GM corn close enough that it, pollinated.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was accused of patent infringement.
Yeah.
And that's the one where the judge said, and it was because the wind blew
mm-hmm.
the pollen from the GM corn into his field,
yeah.
And the judge didn't give a doggone whether...
Yeah. Plus, in that case, there was even another farmer who had a whole truck full of seed who'd gone past his land and found out that the bags were...
Your voice got real low there.
Yeah, they found out that the bags had burst on another farmer that was passing his farm.
Shoot.
And the farmer said that probably half of my seed here is blown onto your land.
Alan, I can't hear you.
You can't, eh?
And maybe again, it's just my...
Uh-huh.
But would you... Oh, there you go. Would you repeat what you just said?
Yeah.
There we go.
A farmer had passed this guy's farm or his fields driving a truck, and some of the bags had been burst on these seeds. And a lot of the seed blew onto his land, and the farmer admitted that, you know, he says, you've probably got half my seed across your field here. And so that was against him, too. But the judge said, I don't care if a bird even passed the seed in its droppings. The fact is, as long as it's on your land, that's all I need to know. So it's, again, a Masonic must-be for their GM Grandmaster Foods, you know. That this is going to be this way because they want to put the small farmers out of business.
They want to put home gardeners out of business.
Yes, they do. Uh-huh.
Just people who are growing for their own
mm-hmm.
for their own survival.
Yeah, that's a fact. They want to have total control of everything on the planet. And when you watch these wildlife programs that they always have on television, you'll notice that they have experts in the fields or students or whatever tracing all kinds of animals, even rattlesnakes, and they catch them.
Tracking them?
They tag them and track them.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, this is all a symbol of what's going to happen to every individual. It's the same thing. It's ownership of everything on the planet.
Including our minds.
That too.
Ha-ha.
Yeah. So, yeah, we can see where it's all going. And food, shelter, and clothing, and water are essential for human life. And they want to make sure in the perfect world they're creating, in their habitat areas, there will be no private property. You'll have to rent. You'll pay for all your food, and you'll pay for every glass of water you drink. And, of course, if you don't go along with it, the punishment will be the withdrawal of your credits, so that you can't pay for anything.
Your pings on the computer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, this is good news, what I'm going to say. It just popped in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because we talk about, I don't like saying they're going to.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seems to me we're helping speak it in like it's a given. And maybe you think it is. Maybe it is, Alan, but I don't care to be part of helping to mm-hmm. speak it in. And I'd rather say their intentions. And we know how far they've come today.
Yeah.
But, you know, Holland and France.
Mm-hmm.
In Holland, there was a 67% no vote for the European Union Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, France also. And these are the people out there. These are the people that feel... It seems like there's awakening happening, Alan.
I don't see it the same way.
Don't you?
See, I was in Europe when all that stuff was going on the last time. And I can remember Britain voting no to join the Union the three times. And they said, well, regardless, you're getting it anyway.
Uh-huh.
And the same with most of the other countries. So that whatever's happening today, there's another motive behind it. And I think what they're doing is bringing on a form of chaos.
But it isn't the government's voting, it's the people voting.
Yeah, but you know, the governments can manipulate votes anyway.
Yes.
They can tell you there's whatever results they want to.
Yeah.
And so I think they're intentionally stirring up something, because they do want some chaos going on so that they can put their new laws through speed things up that way, you know.
They have to have the opposition.
Yes.
To make the change.
That's their religion. It's a law of nature, as they call it. And by nature, they mean spring, fall, summer, winter. It's using two sides, at least two sides for opposition to create a third, which is the outcome.
The third way.
The third way, and that's what they've always done, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So something else is going on over there. And because these guys, remember, started the program and the bureaucracies up in 1948 to unite Europe, but they never admitted that to the public until it was all achieved. You know, so they're not likely to throw it out the window now.
Like Vicente Fox, is that his name?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And George Bush and Paul Martin.
Mm-hmm.
Restructured a continent in an afternoon.
Yes.
On March 23rd,
mm-hmm.
while Terry Schiavo was being murdered in plain sight in front of the whole world.
That's right. That's right. That's what they did, huh?
That's what they did, yes.
And of course, one day you wake up and somehow it all changed and it's here. And you say, well, what happened? How did it get here? You know. But there are big forces working towards all of this. And the media, of course, being an arm of government, in fact, the media is essential to government to keep us all busy and distracted and worried and so on. The media isn't going to come out and tell the public the truth.
And
although it's amazing how many authors come out from the media after the goal of any particular part has been achieved. You know,
mm-hmm.
they all come out with their books after it's done. Which meant that they knew all along, but it didn't tell the public. You know. but no, I mean, Winston Churchill boasted about this during World War II, that they'd unite Europe. It's so odd, you see, there's your right and left again. There was Hitler going to unite Europe, and there's Churchill. The only opposition they really had in a peacetime situation was the general public in every country. They wouldn't go for it. So they gave us a war, you see. And achieved it anyway. So this is typical of the strategy they use. Yeah. But something else is going on in Holland right now and France.
Something else, you mean, that we don't know about?
Yes, we'll eventually see it, whether they want some kind of restructuring through after students riot or something, but there's something else behind it, something they want.
Well, you know what... That makes sense, because it's like the article that I told you about last evening.
Yeah.
That was in the Philadelphia Inquirer.
Uh-huh.
About fluoride and the dangers of fluoride.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How it destroys kidneys and bones, and why do we have this in our drinking water? The Philadelphia Inquirer is a big newspaper. and very widely read. And then there was the man that gave the talk on 911 at that university in Wisconsin, and then C-SPAN picked it up on at least two occasions. I caught it the second time around, and this man pulled no punches. It wasn't one of those, oh, there was government forewarning and the government didn't do anything, the FBI knew but they didn't do anything, etc. He laid it out and basically said this was an insider job.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on C-SPAN twice, and I sat there and I listened. You know, your ears get really tuned, and you can hear the littlest hook. And I heard no hooks, Alan.
Yeah.
And I thought, my God, why is C-SPAN doing this? Twice. They didn't just do it once. They did it twice.
Yeah.
But it's as you said, you know, what they might be doing, like this with this fluoride article.
Yeah.
Maybe they're trying to, maybe it is testing the waters, mm-hmm. to see, does anybody even respond or react to it?
It could be, yeah.
Because, the thing was, why is it mandated to be in our water systems?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was a lengthy article.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I wonder how much reaction they have had so far.
I don't know. Now, see, that makes me question. Now, I get excited when it looks like a lot of people are standing up and speaking out.
Mm-hmm.
That looks to me like an awakening. That's why I said that.
Mm-hmm.
But when the controlled media,
yeah.
is saying this stuff, it gets very confusing. What in the world are they up to? It was just like, you know, after GW,
mm-hmm.
on the afternoon of the eve of Purim,
mm-hmm.
Announced that we were going to, quote, go to war with Iraq.
Yeah.
The New York Times and the New York Post began printing articles about how he lied and all the lies that were told,
yeah.
to justify going to war. Now, this was 2 years ago.
Yes.
And I thought, what are they doing here?
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, because these are the same creatures that put him into office.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, maybe they're going to take him down. But they haven't.
Mm-hmm.
And they printed all that stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know, well, even in Canada here, they did show on the CBC part of the supposed inquiry into the Iraq War. And Bush was sitting along with Powell and a few other ones. And he was asked a question about his reasons for attacking Iraq. And the fact that there was no connection between Saddam Hussein and the 9/11 bombing, and he said, "I never claimed that Saddam Hussein had anything to do with 9/11."
Oh,
he admitted that, you know. But of course, the media, the same self-same media, and the Canadian government, again, the CBC television. Did polls, or showed polls done in the U.S. that 2 years after 9/11, the media had convinced the public that Saddam Hussein was directly responsible for 9/11. But there was the president admitting that Saddam Hussein had nothing to do with it at the actual inquiry.
But like you said, people are losing their memories.
They are losing memory, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he did admit that, in fact, he justified it by saying, he said, the world's better off without this tyrant. That's how he justified the war.
Better off. Oh, without this tyrant?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and you know, that's, I'll tell you, on the internet, not 9 out of 10, probably 29 out of 30,
mm-hmm.
articles that you get.
Yeah.
About the war, about anything, there's always that thing in there. For example, yes, it's true, Saddam Hussein is a tyrant,
mm-hmm.
and he shouldn't have been in power. However,
yes.
So the big lie,
mm-hmm.
is Saddam Hussein was a tyrant.
Yeah.
And yet he's the man we saw standing in front of a crowd of people talking. And when he was finished, besides the jeering and yelling, they were all firing their guns.
Mm-hmm.
In the book on Saddam Hussein, the people were actually, the government actually gave the guns to the people for self-defense.
Yeah, on in fact, on the, again, the CBC prelude to the war, they showed that, all the private gun shops in Iraq were open up to the very end of the actual or the start of the invasion, and they were selling their guns very, very cheaply to everybody, every civilian.
To people who didn't have them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if somebody's hated that bad,
uh-huh.
a, quote, tyrant,
yeah.
they're not going to stand. I mean, you know, even if he was wearing a whole suit of body armor,
yeah.
his head and face was,
mm-hmm.
you know, underneath his uniform. He might have been protected, but his head and face wasn't protected.
Mm-hmm.
And that was right on CNN.
Talked about Iraq.
Your voice got real low again.
Winston Churchill talked about Iraq before World War II. And he said that Iraq's going to be very, very important in the future, he said, because of the vast quantities of oil in the north. You know?
Wow.
So and he said that will be a future battleground. And again, if you go back to H.G. Wells, who was a propagandist for the British government, in The Shape of Things to Come...
Are you right up against your mouthpiece?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
God. Okay.
In The Shape of Things to Come, he said there would be two world wars, and then a final third one. He said two with Germany, by the way, before it happened, before the first one happened. And he said the third one will start in Basra, which is Basra, Iraq. You know, so these guys have had this agenda up their sleeves for over 100 years, probably a lot longer. You know? And people forget already that Saddam Hussein, in his eyes. He was taking back Kuwait, which had been part of old Persia before Britain divided up the land after World War I.
Yes, and England did that, didn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And not only, you know, maybe it would have been left alone, but while Iraq was involved in that war with Iran,
mm-hmm.
and then you find out when you read the book on Saddam Hussein. And folks, that book is in our website, by the way, at sweetliberty.org, and you can find it in the Iraq section, Iraq, on the main page, or you can find it over to the left sidebar where it says books online or just books. And while the U.S. was actually... what do you call supporting Iran in that war to keep it going, Alan?
Yeah.
And while they were doing that, Kuwait was drilling underneath at an angle and drilling oil, sucking oil out of actually Iraq territory.
That's right.
And that was what, you know, Saddam Hussein said, you guys stop it. And,
yeah.
God.
It was in the papers at the time, and Papa Bush, that was his first major job for the big boys, was to set up the oil fields in Kuwait.
Yep.
Yeah.
We're at the bottom of the hour, and we're going to take a commercial break here, folks. And I hope you will get your pen in hand, and I hope that you will take the address, my address, down, and know and remember that this broadcast is brought to you by you. Each and every one of you, those of you who are supporting in this broadcast, and if you aren't, then you might want to if you'd like to see it stay on the air. We'll be right back with Alan Watt. Alan, if I'm not back right away, when we come back, will you tell them about your book? You're almost finished with it. Okay.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Be sure to visit the SweetLiberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Hello, well, we're back again. And I have three booklets for sale concerning this not just the New World Order. This is an old world order which simply keeps upgrading itself to the next part. And I've got one, two, and three. Three's just completed, and I'll be putting more out this week. If anyone wants them, you can get them for $25 each, and that will be in postal order, international postal order, which you can get at your post office, and it has to be international. And if you want them, send the order to Alan Watt, W-A-T-T, and the address is Site 41, that's S-I-T-E 41, Box 4, Estaire, which is E-S-T-A-I-R-E, Ontario, Canada, and the postal code is P for Peter, 3, E for Elizabeth, 4, N for Nora, 1. And I'll get them out as fast as I can. For those who have been waiting, I apologize, but I've been run off my feet, really. And I'm sort of catching up this week. So they'll be out very shortly. And they do go through a lot of the history of the system, and that's what it is. It's a system which has been running this world for thousands of years, building empires and destroying empires as it goes along. And now we've reached the time when they're building the final empire, the world empire, and they're going to reshape the whole planet in the image they've created for it, which is basically based on economics. And if you don't have a function, or they have no function for you, you simply will not be allowed to exist.
I'm back. I'm here, Alan.
Uh-huh.
But you go right ahead.
I've just finished. Yeah,
yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Well... You said, well, this is the final one?
Well, the final one for this phase of it. This is taken...
Right, because they've been here before, mm-hmm. and maybe not to the extent that they are right now, as you've said.
Yes.
But as you've said, too, they're not going to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that there isn't going to be terrible chaos and heartache and et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
That there isn't going to be, but it doesn't mean that they're going to be successful.
Mm-hmm. Well, you see, what I watch for is it's not the people fighting or Holland or France complaining or stopping or saying no. What I watch is for the elite starting to fight amongst themselves, because that will be the sign that the pyramid is going to start crumbling.
Oh, okay.
You see, because these people, you have to understand, have been bred for their purpose. That's why they're so intent on not just interbreeding, but specialized breeding for specific traits. Just like pedigree animals or domesticated animals are bred for specific tendencies.
Yeah.
These people are bred to rule, basically. They don't have compassion, as we know it, and they're heartless. But what they also have in common is an addiction to total power. They want power. The Joe Average doesn't want power over anything, you know. But these people want power over everything, and they all want it. And now that they see this this throne of the world, this philosopher king, as they call it. The throne's getting set up, basically. But there's only one seat for this philosopher king, and they all want to be occupying it. And that's when they will start fighting amongst each other.
And I have read this has been even in the last few years,
mm-hmm.
that they're already bickering and fighting amongst themselves.
I mean, they try and cover it up as best they can, because they must give a semblance of order to the people. But these people are ruthless when it comes to power. And the sharks can all feed on other creatures as long as there's lots of other creatures around. But once they're penned in themselves into that little top group where they all want positions, that's when they start feeding on each other.
Uh-huh.
And that's when the trouble starts.
I'm going to make a request here.
Mm-hmm.
Eleanor White usually is always listening to the broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
And you're so faint in my headset. I'm concerned, and yet this has happened before.
Uh-huh.
Where you're faint to me, but they hear you fine.
Okay.
And because, Alan, you're not even registering on my voice meter here.
Uh-huh.
And it just bothers me, just in case our listeners
mm-hmm.
are having as difficult a time listening as you are. Eleanor, if you are listening, would you give us a buzz here and let us know if Alan, or somebody, if Alan is coming in okay. Folks, I've got the phone number here for you. That's what I went and did, is found my catalog for the Southern Exposure Seed Exchange. There are other catalogs out there that have non-hybrid seeds and non-GM seeds. This is one I use. I love this catalog. There's just about nothing that you would want to grow that you couldn't find in this catalog, and they actually have them listed for what parts of the country they're good. Even, for example, in the Deep South, a particular type of tomato that grows well there, or et cetera. And this is Southern Exposure Seed Exchange. They're in Virginia. And the phone number, I'm not going to give you the address. You can call them and order a catalog. I will give you the phone number and their website, but I'm not going to go through the address thing here. But the phone number is 540-540-894-9480. 540-894-9480. And their website is southernexposure.com. Southernexposure.com. If you want to get a hold of them, the catalog is $2. And you can get their address when you call them. And I urge you, well, I'm not going to urge you, I guess, because you're going to do it if you're going to do it or not. I don't care if you live in the city, you can turn your backyard into a garden, folks. And I know I'm taking us back off, you know, the trail that we were on, and back to this food thing. But where there is a will, there is a way. If you live in the city, if you live in an apartment, you can... Hello?
I Jackie. Tell her Ellen is just fine.
Oh, gosh. Thanks, honey, very much, Eleanor.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Ellen, that just doesn't make any sense to me.
Uh-huh.
You and I are on the very exact same phone line.
Yep.
And yet your voice just, and it hasn't done this in a while, but it's doing it tonight. You know, there are people who are doing this in cities, getting permission, if you would, from the city or the township or whatever, if you don't have the space to do a garden.
Yep.
And they're doing gardening collectively. I hate to use that word, but that's what they're doing. And where there is a will, there is a way. But today, we just have no idea what we're eating, what we're drinking when we buy food at the grocery stores today.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been buying lettuce. I love salads. And I get lettuce and I just... Alan, that lettuce will stay... It'll stay without wilting or rusting for weeks.
I know someone telling me that he knows someone who has a tomato that sat on the window ledge for months, and it didn't. It took almost 8 months before it started drying out.
Well, let me tell you something. There's a tomato at the grocery store now. I don't know that I've seen it lately, but I haven't looked. And you know what it says? Please don't refrigerate our beautiful tomatoes. Now, this is a beautiful-looking tomato on the outside, but the probably, besides the minerals that you would get from a tomato grown in good, sound, you know, nutritious earth, vitamin C. And vitamin C dissipates at room temperature. And so, therefore, in the first place, how in the world could you keep a tomato without keeping it refrigerated for any length of time?
Yeah.
But even the lettuce, Alan, anything we eat. And then, you know, when I was reading that article to our listeners last week about aspartame. My God, it's in all kinds of things.
Yeah.
It's in all kinds of foods, prepared foods, the same as the MSG.
Yeah.
Monosodium glutamate, and it's a killer. And
you know that too.
Yeah, of course they do.
True, wasn't it?
And oh, you know, I don't think I ever got to the article on MSG, additive in food. They mask the name of it. Some of the foods will, some of the things will say no MSG added, and it's because the MSG is already in it.
Yeah.
But also, when you see some, when you see an ingredient that says hydrolyzed vegetable protein, now that sounds pretty innocent, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know what the heck hydrolyzed means, but vegetable protein, it's another name for monosodium glutamate. And evidently, the word is getting out because Lily found on the internet a bill that was actually passed here in Pennsylvania. That is mandating that restaurants list on their menus foods that MSG is being added to. Because MSG, first of all, it of course it has no nutrients. It doesn't, but it they say that it causes obesity. And in the article that I have here that I intended, and I don't think I got to it, when they're studying rats, let's say for an example, this example was used. They want to study diabetes, and they need to have a fat rat, or rats aren't fat naturally. So they inject them with MSG, Alan.
Yeah.
They inject them with MSG.
Yeah.
And get their fat rats. And not only that, but the FDA has put no limits on how much they can use.
Uh-huh.
It's in everything. And they listed, I mean, you couldn't list all the restaurants, but some of the, well, like McDonald's and Kentucky Fried and et cetera, they say that it's actually addictive.
Yeah.
And it makes people eat more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a war on the people. I mean, it's no surprise to us, but it's a complete war on the people where you make them malnourished. You can be very obese, but still malnourished. Because your body is creating things, you see. And you can cram all this stuff down you, but it ends up in fat, and you're still tired and lethargic and so on. But that's the type of population you would want when you're bringing them through massive changes.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, I think it was Rumsfeld, wasn't it, that got that thing through for aspartame?
I don't know.
And Rumsfeld, remember, was director for the Sierra company, which is a subsidiary of Monsanto. And the Sierra company, its main specialties for the last 40 years has been in the field of psychiatric drugs. So that makes perfect sense to me, that it's a form of warfare.
Oh, you know what I heard? You know what I saw on the Weather Channel?
Uh-huh.
You know how they advertise all these drugs?
Yes.
You know, if you're afraid to go outside or socialize, they call it something disorder, social something disorder. They call it SAD. They have a drug for everything, of course. And then they do the side effects, or, you know, real fast so that you can't even hardly hear them.
Yes.
Well, anyway, they were advertising some drug, another drug, and then they started talking about the Merck Patient Assistant Program. Assistance program, and they gave an 800 number. In fact, I wrote it down. I've got it out there on the kitchen counter, and I called it, but they just had a message on it because you have to call between, you know, like 8 and 5. But that if you need medication, Merck medication, and you can't afford it and you don't have insurance, you get a hold of them, and they have a Merck patient assistance program. And, you know, they're pretty lenient, because if you make less than $19,000 a year as an individual, you can qualify. And then they go on to say, you know, $36,000 for a family, etc. But even if you are above those figures, there will be special... you know, they'll consider. In other words, so you get to get your Merck medications, Alan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, I'm sure there's a government backing program that'll pay it back to them. You know, they won't lose on it. You know. I mean, the government is tied at the hip with big business. In fact, most of these, well, like Rumsfeld, he was the director for as I say, Sierra Company, which is part of Monsanto.
And Sierra, where are they?
They have branches in the States and in Canada.
And you said that's S-E-A-R-O?
R-L-E.
Oh, Sierra.
Mm-hmm.
Sierra.
Yep.
And they're here in the States.
Uh-huh.
And that's medicine, and they're connected with... It's a subsidiary of Monsanto.
Yeah, they work with Monsanto because they are a part of Monsanto, really. They work with them to create a modified food. And as I keep saying, you know, why would a company that specialized in psychiatric drugs, why on earth would they be involved in making your food? That should raise alarms everywhere, you know.
Yep. It should.
It can be made.
It would make me want to start a garden.
Yes, and know where, as you say, where the seed comes from.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, and by the way, I don't think I told our listeners this. I might have. Folks, I have a lovely tomato here that a lady in New York, a Mennonite lady, gave Chuck about 3 years ago. And this tomato, it overfilled my hand. And he got talking to her, and come to find out, she listened to Sweet Liberty. And we had been doing a whole probably 2 weeks on, you know, the food and gardening, Alan. Mm-hmm. And she gave him the tomato and said, give this to Jackie. It is a Mennonite heritage tomato. And tell her to save the seeds. Well, I did. But, you know, the floods that we've had, I was concerned because my tomatoes... Even though some grew, but they all started, you know, getting the blossom end rot and stuff from all the rain. I sent Southern Exposure the seeds, mm-hmm. and they grew the tomatoes last year, And now they're offering the seeds to their customers. And it is a beautiful, beautiful tomato. It, when you call that number, folks, to get the catalog, if you look in the 95 catalog, you'll see it listed under tomatoes. And the tomatoes are about a pound apiece, Alan.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And they're beautiful, and you can use them for anything.
Uh-huh.
You can do anything with them. You can make your... They're supposed to be a pasta tomato,
mm-hmm.
but you can... Of course, they're delicious eating, but you can can them. You can make your pasta sauce with them. You can do everything with them. Folks, I want to give you that phone number again to the catalog, Southern Exposure Seed Exchange, 540-948... Oh, excuse me. Nope, start over. 540-894-9480. 540-894-9480. And its website is southernexposure.com. And almost everything in there... I don't think they have any hybrids. I know they have no GM, but they might have hybrids. But if they do, it's listed as a hybrid. But some of their seeds in there, Alan, are 80, 90, 100, over 100 years old.
Yeah.
And to me, that is just beautiful.
Yeah.
Just beautiful.
Sure. So that's what people are going to have to do, because... it's only common sense in this day and age that you do it. You have no option.
What yes, option? You do have options, don't you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Surely we always have options.
Mm-hmm.
I think options are called choices, yes?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, because we know what's going on. There's enough information out, really, about all this stuff, even for the average person to get a hold of. So it's common sense. Common sense what they do.
You know, especially people who have children, Alan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would be different. Children don't have the choices.
Mm-hmm.
Children are subject to the choices their parents make. And if to have children and know this, and have an opportunity, or even if it's tough, but to be able to grow healthy food, learn how to can, learn how to dry, learn how to preserve. Probably freezing is our last choice, you know, in case you lose your electricity and stuff. But I freeze stuff, you know, just for the time being. I can also, but to not do that, to not want... to give your children the very best you can give them, to me, it makes no sense at all. It just makes no sense at all to just ignore it and just pretend, you know, shove it out of your mind.
Yeah, well, you should say the children, with everything, look to their parents to advise them. And if the parents don't know themselves, then the children think that, I'll just copy my parents. That's the natural way of things.
There are parents who know.
Yes,
and you. I think you called it willful ignorance.
Yeah.
It goes beyond willful ignorance,
mm-hmm.
because willful ignorance would be, oh, don't tell me, I don't want to know.
Mm-hmm.
But once you know it, Alan,
yeah.
How could you not?
It's a choice, again, of being double-minded, in that they still want to believe that the people, the experts, you see, the society of experts that guide us, you see, they want to believe that they'd never do anything so nasty to the public. So therefore, it must be okay, even though the evidence is out there that it's not. They'd rather believe the experts, you see. It's a choice. It makes them feel better, because if they have to wake up and say, wait a minute, these experts are all lying to us, here's the evidence, then they'd have to start questioning everything, and they don't want to start that journey.
You know what, though?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think people would be listening to this broadcast
mm-hmm.
if they didn't want to know.
Yeah, there's that section of society who already probably all do.
Okay, so then those who are listening and do know, then it behooves them. Folks, it does, doesn't it? It behooves you to do something about it. And, you know, if you've never made a garden, there's nothing more fulfilling and satisfying than to plant a seed, watch it grow, tend it, nurture it, and harvest it, and know that that you're giving your family the best that you can give them. There's, even if it's only yourself, even if you don't have children, for God's sake, you know, eat a carrot and get your hepatitis B vaccine, Alan.
Yep.
They get vaccines. I've got articles here that, you know, sometimes when I bring my email up, I walk away after reading some of this stuff. I walk away kind of bummed out for a while because there's so much that we don't even have the time to talk about. I don't think you have to talk about every teeny tiny little detail to get the point across, do you?
No.
At least we shouldn't have to.
I mean, plants have been used for thousands of years for creating drugs. And to modify foods, you're modifying a plant. And they've already admitted they can, if they wish, make that plant produce anything they want it to produce. So when they say they can do it, you can bet your bottom dollar they are doing it. And that's all you have to really know.
And eating GM-modified food?
Mm-hmm.
Then that would mean that the body is being modified.
Absolutely, re-engineered.
Yes. And to remind our listeners, I did this only, it's been a couple years ago, and for those of you who haven't heard it, a report that I read on, this was particular one was potatoes, feeding them to rats. GM potatoes, the rats' stomach lining thickened, the arteries thickened, the immune system was depressed, and when they took the rat off the potatoes and started giving them a healthy diet, they could not reverse the damage. They couldn't reverse the damage, so it's time. Alan, thank you for being with us tonight.
Yes, it's a pleasure.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back with you tomorrow night with Steve Jacobson, and I do hope you tune in and get Alan's book. And remember, to support Sweet Liberty. We're not asking a whole lot here, Alan. Good night. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
Record budget deficits, bankruptcies galore, and the U.S. dollar is at an all-time low. With today's gloomy economic